You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns. And on Instagram at Official Browns. Vic and Nathan, a football Thursday. A little bit rainy, but glad you're with us on CBD.
Yes, we are.
All right, so Jadeveon Clowney had his pro day yesterday. There's been a lot of discussion and a lot of analysis about that, and mostly in the positive vein. Did Jadeveon Clowney turn it around for himself? Because the questions about work ethic, about self-preservation, all those things that dogged him in 2013, I mean, even his head coach, Steve Spurrier at South Carolina, did him no favors in terms of talking about how hard the guy worked. And I guess after yesterday's workout, he sort of dialed it down a little bit. I think in direct question, a few reporters asked him after Clowney's workout, in a direct question about what you would tell an NFL coach about the guy's work ethic, his answer was, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. That was the quote from Spurrier. I don't know if that's saying anything enough, you know, of a positive endorsement of the guy. And then today, Connor Shaw last night, appeared on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Connor Shaw was not so much blasting, but saying the guy was in a lose-lose position, Clowney was last season, but praised him, Nathan, for work ethic and just talked about, you know, in a very positive vein, said, and this is the quote, he said, the guy is, quote, an animal on and off the field. This is Connor Shaw, his former quarterback, South Carolina's former quarterback. He goes on to say, his work ethic in the weight room, I've seen it firsthand. And if you ask any of his teammates from South Carolina, they'll say the same thing. He goes out and has a strong pro day yesterday. He ran a great 40 at the combine. Really, Clowney's done everything he possibly can, don't you think, to make his stock stay at the high level it was 2 years ago?
Sure, to do whatever he needs to do to make the case that he's the number one pick. I know a lot of people are kind of saying, listen, people are not doing him any favors comparing him to Lawrence Taylor because he was arguably the most dominant defensive player to ever play the game, which I think is fair. But yes, Clowney, I think, has shown the things that he needs to show to be considered to be the top overall pick in the draft. I think depending on how teams go for the quarterbacks, he could fall to number four, as I have in my mock draft for the Cleveland Browns, which would be a great thing here for the Browns to beef up and get Jadeveon Clowney. But yeah, I was impressed with Clowney. I've been impressed with Clowney. Maybe he didn't necessarily go all out the whole time, but I'll tell you what, you know, in reading Collision Low Crossers, which again, I will say, I recommend to every Browns fan if you want to get a little bit more of a behind-the-scenes feel for your new head coach, Mike Pettine, and become a big fan of his, reading this book will do that. But Muhammad Wilkerson was a guy who fell a little bit, and one of the questions was about his motor and whether or not he had the effort every play. Well, all he's done is come into the NFL and been an absolute monster. So I think those things can be worked out when people get at the next level and get the job done. And we had Mel Kiper on earlier today, but he talked about Clowney and basically said, if he's not a Hall of Famer, it's going to be his fault, no one else's.
You think about Andrew Luck. We said he was a once in every 30-year player. So is Jadeveon Clowney, and certainly should be the number one pick. If he's not a future Hall of Famer, nobody can blame anybody except Clowney himself. There's no other factors that will prevent Jadeveon Clowney outside of injury. But if he's not a future Hall of Famer, it's all on Jadeveon Clowney.
Which, you know, is in my mind, and just having listened to Mel and talked with Mel through many years, in my mind is another way of saying that, you know, there is that question about the guy and the guy's ability to do this. I think if you frame it that way, you're saying all the skills are there. Does he have it above the shoulders or the shoulder pads to get it done?
Right, and that's going to be the question. But you're starting to get a little bit of the momentum, and it's funny how this stuff ebbs and flows, but the momentum is starting to come back. Todd McShay saying you cannot pass on Clowney. Don't be that guy.
Right.
If you're stuck at number one, you cannot pass on Jadeveon Clowney because he grades out so significantly higher than all of those quarterbacks and higher than the rest of his class.
Yeah, and again, that's the point, is you if you have an opportunity to draft a guy of that caliber, can you pass on him? And from my understanding, too, the Houston Texans had a bunch of representatives spend a good deal of time with him after that workout. Once again, What do you read into these pro workouts? What do you take away from this? And the answer probably is, for the most part, little. However, you got the top overall pick of the draft. You're there. You got one-on-one opportunity with him, or one-on-three, or whatever it was, those coaches and other representatives of the Texans, to try to get this pick right. I mean, it behooves them to invest as much time as possible. Again, if I'm running a team, I will have somebody, and myself, if I can make the schedules work accordingly, at every one that I need to be at. That's me, though. That's, you know, the others who can do it want to do it differently and have their reasons to do it, and it doesn't make somebody else wrong. It's just, you know, I like vanilla ice cream, and you like strawberry ice cream. You know, we both
exactly.
like ice cream.
Different so. Strokes for different folks. Want to bring this up regarding Clowney. Lance Zierling, who I like a lot, it covers the Houston Texans. It really covers the NFL. Very yeah. smart guy as it relates to the NFL. Said his mock 2.0 will be out tomorrow. He has Clowney going first and Tom Savage going to the Texans in round number two. So that is a guy who is on the way up, as you talked about, all the way up maybe now to the second round, which would surprise me a little bit. But they're starting to be, and it's amazing how these narratives change. Like I said, now Bortles is supposedly the guy who could be falling. So who knows with these quarterbacks, but there's an interesting take if Clowney does go first, Savage being a potential guy for the Texans in round two. One of our Twitter followers asked me this question, Vic. I want to get quickly your take on it before we get Doug Deacon in here. At DMost8 says, surprised you guys didn't mention Browns, Mallett, or Cousins rumor specifically since the Skins grabbed Colt McCoy. How do you respond to that, or would you think that changes anything about bringing potentially Kirk Cousins here?
I thought about that, but only briefly. No, I don't. I think the Redskins value Cousins enough, or more, or probably slightly more than they do Colt McCoy. I mean, I think you bring in more depth and more competition to the position, but I think, as I look at it, I think Cousins would stand out as someone that they would view as the guy that you go to, especially with RG3's health issues or question marks or whatever. No, I don't think it changes that at all. I think it's just competition, and I think that's a healthy thing.
I agree. All right, Doug Deacon for the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network up next here on CBD.